of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. In other words, these verses are saying, if you have experienced new life in Christ, if you have come to a spiritual resurrection in Christ, from death into life, then commit your life to follow Christ. Focus your vision on the things that are to come and not on the things of this earth. But you see, the reality of life is we get distracted, don't we? We get so distracted and bombarded with this life that the cares of this world, the cares of our finances, our careers, our families, our obligations here on earth become so burdensome that some people just say, well, I just don't have enough time to pray. I just don't have enough time for God's word. I just don't have enough time to come to church. I can't do it because the cares of this world are so heavy on me. And there's something that we need to do then. We need to look at this text and say, wait a minute. Don't set your vision on the things of this earth. Don't set your vision on retirement. Don't set your vision on what you want to do one day. That's minor. That's on the side. If God blesses you with good retirement, thank Him. But that's not why we live. We live for eternity. We live to have our focus on heaven. And in the book, Heaven is for Real, the vision of heaven was so great for little Colton. He underwent, as we know by now, and some of you have read the book and some of you are reading it. And I had more requests today. And please, if you borrowed a book from the church library, when you're done reading it, bring it back so others can read it. This little boy had an emergency appendectomy. He was only 4 years old, and after his miraculous recovery, they didn't think that he was going to make it. He started talking about heaven and the reality of heaven. And what we need to know is that there are three ways to view things. When we talk about, our text talks about set your mind on things above, there are three things concerning heaven that we need to realize, and I want to bring this in connection with the book of Colton's story. We are commanded, first of all, to view things on earth in the lights of heaven's reality. How does heaven look at earth? How does heaven look at our lives? Our lives are so short. And everything is so trivial. Everything is so temporary. It's just fleeting away. Our days are just passing by as if we fly away. And this is very important for us. If we would pull back the veil that obscures our vision, we would see reality, heaven's reality. How does life look from and in the light of eternity? And this is very important. This is what we learn from this book, Heaven is for Real. It is not a fantasy. It is real. And I believe that with all my heart, although I have never been in heaven, but I believe that there have been enough witnesses, and Jesus has talked, and God's word has spoken enough about heaven that it is absolutely believable. The second thing that we need to see is that we are in a battle for heaven. Guess what? We have an enemy that doesn't want us to go to heaven. We have an adversary that wants to destroy our lives for all eternity. And so many people buy into the lies of the enemy and allow him to deceive them that they don't even go to heaven or don't even want to prepare for heaven. In the book of Job, Some say Job, but it is Job. Satan is described as the enemy of our souls. He inflicted and tortured a righteous man named Job, and this is part of his what is called chess game with God. He challenged God. He said, "Job, your servant will deny you in your face if he is tested." And then in the book of Daniel, we read about a story, a visitor that Daniel received, an angel that visited him when Daniel was in a very low point in his life. He felt drained emotionally. He felt tired. He felt weary because he had prayed and fasted and nothing happened. Daniel was being tested. And finally, the angel came, and this is what he said to Daniel in Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 through 13. "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard." In other words, the angel is confirming here that our sincere prayers, when we humbly come before God, our prayers are heard in heaven. And the angel continued and said, "And I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. So for 3 weeks, the prince of Persia battled this angel that was sent to Daniel and wouldn't let him go through. And then he says, "Behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia." So the angel had come. He did what God sent him to do. He wanted to go to Daniel and bring him the message that his prayers were answered. But here was this prince of Persia that hindered him, and he wouldn't let him through. Until Michael, some people say, well, Gabriel has the sword and Gabriel is the... No, Gabriel is a messenger. Michael is the warrior angel. And he defeated the king of Persia in the sense that this angel could finally arrive and bring Daniel the message. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, we read so clearly, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." And we need to be aware of this, that the principalities of darkness, our enemy, is determined to prevent us from going to heaven. Little Colton, he recognized that, and so one day, his dad writes about one time, after he and Colton had had many conversations about heaven, when he suggested to Colton that there was probably at least one thing Colton didn't see in heaven, and he said, "There are no swords up there." And Colton, he said, "Yes, there are two swords in heaven." And then Colton said this, "The angels carry swords so they can keep Satan out of heaven. So there is a battle going on spiritually on our behalf." He knew that. He saw that. And in our bulletin, we read more of that story. How Colton then said that he had even asked Jesus to have a sword, and Jesus said, "No, we don't want you to hurt yourself or to hurt others. It would be too dangerous." Now, I want to read on a little bit. The third idea here in our text is, If we keep our vision only on the material things, on this life, we take a huge risk because the stakes are very high for you and me. And this is where we need to be watchful. We need to be prayerful. We need to say, Lord, I want to make it to heaven. I want to live a life that pleases you. I don't want to focus on this life, but I want to focus on what is to come. Let me read again out of the story. A couple of weeks later, says the writer, the father, I began preparing to preside over a funeral at church. The man who had passed away wasn't a member of our congregation, but people in town knew who don't attend services regularly often want a church funeral for a loved one. Sometimes the deceased is a friend or relative of a church member. Colton must have heard his mother and me discussing the upcoming service because he walked into the front room one morning and tugged on my shirt tail. Daddy, what's a funeral? I had done several funerals at church since Colton was born, but he was at that age where he was starting to become more interested in how and why things work. Well, buddy, a funeral happens when someone dies. A man here in town died, and his family is coming to church to say goodbye to him. Instantly, Colton's demeanor changed. His face fell into serious lines, and he stared fiercely into my eyes. Did the man have Jesus in his heart? My son was asking me whether the man who had died was a Christian who had accepted Christ as his Savior. And his intensity caught me off guard. I'm not sure, Colton, I said. I didn't know him well. Colton's face bunched up in a terrible twist of worry. He had to have Jesus in his heart. He had to know Jesus, or he can't go into heaven. This is a young boy that had the vision of heaven, that saw heaven, his urgency in his voice. He had to have known Jesus, or else he can't go to heaven. Again, his intensity surprised me, especially since he didn't even know this man. I tried to comfort him as best as I could. I've talked to some of the family members, and they told me he did. Colton didn't seem entirely convinced, but his face relaxed a bit. Well, okay, he said and walked away. That four-year-old boy knew the truth. He knew that we are in a battle. The stakes are very high for eternity. This is why our text says, set your mind on things above and not things on the earth. This is why the Bible calls us also to seize eternal life. This is an urgency that we see throughout the whole gospel, the urgency of getting the good news of the gospel to those who are lost, to shout at them if you have to and say, get saved. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because you don't know if you have tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen in your life, but make sure you have Christ in your life so you will go to heaven. That is an urgency. There's one more story that Colton had about the funeral. When the day of the funeral came and Colton saw the casket through the doors of this church sanctuary, he pointed to it and asked, what's that, Daddy? So the father said, I tried to keep it simple. That's the casket. The man who died is inside it. Suddenly, Colton's face gathered into that same knot of intense concern. He slammed his fists on his thighs, then pointed the finger at the casket and said in a near shout, did that man have Jesus? The mother's eyes opened wide, and they both looked and glanced at the sanctuary doorway, terrified. The family inside could hear our son. He had to know Jesus. He can't get into heaven if he didn't have Jesus in his heart. That was his urgency. Can you imagine a small child being so concerned of someone who died that they would have Jesus in their hearts? You see, that little boy knew the truth. New reality. We grown-ups, we like, well, we'll just leave it up to God and all this. No, he was really concerned. He really had this burden for souls on his heart because he had seen the other side. It was real. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. In other words, this is the condition that we need to meet so we won't get into judgment, so that we can go from death to life. In John chapter 3 verse 36, he says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So have we experienced, Brother Gunther read to us out of John chapter 5, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. It's very clear. Either we have the Son of God, and he is the Lord of our lives, or we don't have him, and we are lost, and we will not see life. We will not see heaven. And this is the concern that little Colton had. He's got to have Jesus. He must have him. He must have known him, or else he can't go to heaven. Today, it's easy to say if someone dies, well, yeah, you know, I mean, they died of consumption or overdose of drugs, and but really they were good people, and they went to heaven. It's easy for us adults to reason that way. But little Colton had the reality. He knew that you got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, or you don't go to heaven. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12. The Apostle Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Make sure this is settled in your life, not just one day, but every day you know and you walk in the assurance that Christ is in your life, in your heart. Because without Christ, we will simply not see the glory of heaven. I want to come to a conclusion now and would like to ask you to stand with me. I want to ask you, maybe you have confessed to be a Christian for a long time. It doesn't matter whether we confess to be a Christian a long time or not. What matters is that we know today, is Jesus really in my heart and my life? Do I have set my vision, my eyes on the things above and not on this earth? I want to encourage and challenge you today. Look into your heart. If there's anything that separates you from Christ, if there's any issue in your life, anything you did or said that didn't please him, and you know that the Lord brings that to mind, ask his forgiveness. Don't let and allow anything to separate you from heaven, because heaven is a reality. Heaven is a real place. And maybe I should say a prayer with you today. If you want to do this, you can pray that with me as I pray this. And just ask simply that the Lord would be in your life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I need Jesus in my heart. I want to seize hold of eternal life. I admit and confess that I have sinned and ask you, because of Jesus' death on the cross as payment for my sins, please forgive me of every one of those sins. Cleanse me and free me from all of my sins. And come into my heart and life. Take control of my life. And make me your servant as I trust you to lead me day by day until you take me to glory in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I pray that if anyone is here this morning that needs to accept full salvation through Jesus Christ, that you would not let that person, that heart, rest or become hardened against your word in any way, shape, or form until they have found you and found a rest in you. Because we only have one life. And we were admonished in our text this morning, Lord, not to pay attention so much to the things of this earth, but look at everything in light of eternity, because heaven is before us. Lord, I pray that no one here this morning, under the sound of my voice, would miss heaven for anything. Prepare us and keep us prepared. Lord, even if we struggle, even if it takes a lot of effort on our part to get to where you want us to be, to have the faith in your salvation and to allow that faith to transform our lives, that you make us fit for heaven. Lord, we can't do it on our own. We cannot earn heaven. We cannot be good enough for heaven. It has to be more. It has to be your intervention. And so I pray that we would be aware of that every day and that we would live totally dependent on you in humility, lowliness of heart, to always worship you in spirit and in truth. Until we do that together with all the angels and saints in heaven, we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing that closing song, 404, number